Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
What kind of example are you? And who looks at your example? Oh, we all make an impression on people. It's been said that it's not possible to lay your head upon a pillow without making an impression. The question is, what kind of impression do we make? Is it a good one, or is it a bad one? It's also been said that it is not possible for our children to live around us without learning from us. The question is not whether or not they learn, but what they learn. The question then comes to us, are we the right kind of example, and are we following the right kind of example? We're looking at the greatest example of all, Jesus, the great example. We hope that you have your Bibles ready and are ready to study God's Word together with us. Example, or if you're reading from the King James, sometimes the word is written in sample. What does that word mean? We learned that there were three different shades of meaning to that word. One is something that is put on display, that is exhibited either for the purpose of imitation or for the purpose of warning to keep us away. The second area is that it was something that was a mechanical pattern used to form soft metal into a certain shape. And we should be the kind of example that if people formed themselves into what we are, God would be pleased with them. We also found out that it is a writing copy. It is that perfect alphabet, that perfect form of the character, so that we can fashion ourselves into that. Just as the student writes the letter above the pupil, and then the pupil tries to match that perfection, we have the perfect example in Christ. And we should be living our lives in such a way to try to match the perfection of that life that Jesus lived. That's what Jesus provides for us as an example. We briefly looked at the fact that Jesus is the perfect example to a child. Just as he was subject to his earthly parents, we should be subject to ours. Just as he was subject to the heavenly Father, we must be subject to the Father above as well. Just as Jesus was busy about the Father's business here on the earth, while we are here, we should be busy about the Father's business instead of our own. Just as Jesus increased in wisdom, we should grow and increase in our knowledge and in wisdom as we serve Him here on the earth. We also looked at the fact that Jesus, being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all those that obey Him. Just as Jesus exhibits obedience before us, He requires obedience from us. He's the perfect example to a child. In addition to that, we want to look at some other areas that Jesus provides for us, the perfect example. And the first one we're going to talk about today might sound a little unusual to you. Jesus is the perfect example of a husband. Now, I know many of you are saying, preacher, don't you know that Jesus was never married? Well, I understand that Jesus never took a wife in the physical sense. But I also know that the Bible teaches that Jesus' relationship with the church is like the relationship between a husband and a wife. In fact, the church is even called the bride of Christ. So He can serve to us as the perfect example of a husband. We're going to take our text from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 all the way down through verse 31. And in fact, we're going to begin with verse 31. We read these words, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." We're going to look at three L's that'll help us to understand what kind of husband we should be. The first one is that a husband should leave. The second is that a husband should lead. And the third is that a husband should love. We find the leave here, and we're not talking about a man leaving his wife. Unfortunately, there's too much of that going on already. The Bible clearly shows us that God designed marriage as two people coming together to become one. But in order to do that, husband, you've got to leave your mother and father. There has to come a time when your wife knows, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that she is the most important person to you. Now, I'm not saying that your wife should come between you and God, because that would be wrong. But sometimes we have a tendency to always remember mom. Now, I have the greatest mother in the world. I am thoroughly convinced of that. But she is not the most important woman in my life. If I do not treat my wife in such a way that she knows that she is the most important woman to me in all the world, then I have robbed her of something that she deserves. We, in order to be the proper kinds of husbands, must leave that former life and be joined to that wife to create a new life, and the two of us will be one flesh together. Jesus gave us an example of this when he left heaven. He came down here to the earth, left that place of perfection, and came to this earth of gross imperfection. He left that life to come and find his bride, the church, and be wedded to her. We should do the same if we're going to be the right kind of husband. In order to be the right kind of husband, then we should lead our wives. Notice verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, it is not possible for a wife to submit to a husband who provides no leadership. Husbands, we must take the leadership in the home. That doesn't mean that we rule the home with an iron fist and we beat everyone in subjection. That would be very wrong. But it means that we live a life in such a way that we both show by example and by teaching the path that the family should take, the pattern that should be followed in order to lead that home to heaven. Husbands, we need to provide leadership in the home, and that means responsibility, making the hard decisions, and taking the responsibility for doing so. Those things should not be forced onto the wife. They are the husband's responsibility, not because I think so, but because the Bible teaches so. And thirdly, husbands, we should love our wives. Notice verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you love your wife the way that Christ loved the church? If not, you're robbing her. You're cheating her of something that God says should be hers. That kind of love, the love that means that you would sacrifice anything, including yourself, for her. Are you willing to do that? If we're going to follow the example Jesus gave, we must be, because that's his example to a husband. In just a moment, I'll return.
Truth for the World offers a free, non-denominational Bible correspondence course. It's based strictly upon the Bible and the Bible alone, not the creeds or traditions of men. Write for this free course today. Here's our mailing address, Truth for the World, P.O. Box 751-135, Memphis, Tennessee 38175. That's Truth for the World, P.O. Box 751-135, Memphis, Tennessee 38175. And now once again, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We hope that you will write to us, that you'll engage in a study of God's Word with us through this Bible correspondence course. By doing so, we'll be able to see what Jesus wants us to be by seeing his example. In just a few minutes here at the end, let's look at one other area in which Jesus is an example to us, and that's in the area of a teacher. If you'll turn your Bibles over to John chapter 17, we're going to notice a number of passages from this chapter that show us how to be the proper kind of teacher. And they begin with the words, I have. Jesus here is praying to the Father, and he's talking about the way that he taught the disciples, the men who would be known as the apostles. And in doing so, we see Jesus providing for us the kind of example, showing us how we should be teachers today. In John chapter 17 and verse 4, we read, I have glorified thee on the earth. No one was more worthy of glory than was Jesus, yet he did not come for the purpose of glorifying himself. When we teach, we need to remove ourselves and remember that it is God that we are to glorify. We should teach with a loving and a caring and compassionate attitude. Oh, we must always teach the truth and cannot compromise that. But we should teach in a loving way so that God will, in fact, be glorified. Additionally, we find in verse 6 of John 17, that Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest to me out of the world. It was God, the Father, that Jesus made known to them. He didn't go about trying to show himself to people, but rather he showed the Father. We should have that same kind of humility when we go to teach people. We must not try to exalt ourselves, but rather we must show them God, because that is what Jesus did. We must follow that example and teach with that humility. In verse 8 of John chapter 17, going hand in hand with this, we find Jesus saying, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Dear friend, if you're teaching something other than God's word, please stop. If you are following something other than God's word, please stop. Jesus came and did not bring his own message. Rather, he came and taught the message given him by the Father. He told his disciples, who would be apostles, in John chapter 16, that when the Spirit came, the Holy Spirit wouldn't even give them his own message, but rather the Spirit would give what he had gotten from Jesus, who was going to give him what he had gotten from the Father. We need to understand that just as Jesus did not teach of his own, but rather he taught that which was given him from above, we should do the same thing. We must teach God's word. We must teach the Bible. Finally then, in John chapter 17 and verse 9, we read Jesus saying, I pray for them. And in verse 15, we find out what he prayed for. It says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. When we teach people, we should pray for them.